We open our Bibles together this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. Very beautiful and powerful, comforting chapter in the Word of God, spoken some 180 or 200 years into the future when God's people would be in Babylon, a word of comfort to behold their God. And this morning, on the occasion of baptism, as the family requested, we will be looking into verse 11. Reading the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out like as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why, sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. May the Holy Spirit write each word on our hearts. Verse 10. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. While it is certainly with great joy that we receive this child, Trip Richard, this morning, it is also with great apprehension as parents, as family, as a congregation, as people of God. Great apprehension because we know that he must live in this present evil world as a child of God, and in the last days, as we see the signs all around us. When we receive a child, it comes upon us, our concerns. We don't never realize we could love someone so much. And we are concerned for everything about them, their body, their breathing. And then we think of the struggles and sorrows that they have to go through in this life, and perhaps the particular way of the Lord that may be difficult for them. But above all of that, we know that there will be a battle for the heart and soul of our children in Christ Jesus, that they would live as one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess his truth. And so we pray, as Abraham already, O that Ishmael might live before thee, as Manoah and his wife, who were to have Samson. Lord, what are we to do with this child? There's a word of God that comes to us today. It's a beautiful word of God. It's all sufficient. It's extremely powerful. And that word is, and it's a word of God to each one of us in every situation of our life, regardless of your situation. That word is, verse 9, the last words, behold your God. That is, the word is, look away from circumstances that cause you to be apprehensive and fearful, and behold, look closely at your God. Behold two things, as we read that chapter, behold two things about your Lord. Behold his absolute sovereignty. But even more, behold his infinite tenderness and his power as a shepherd to keep his sheep. He shall gather. Behold your God. Verse 10. He shall come with a strong hand. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall carry the lambs in his arms. And so the context of this chapter, as I briefly alluded to, was that it was a time of great despair. It was a prophecy to Judah that they would come to awful things, that they would go into captivity in Babylon, that they would be exactly like this morning the church in North Korea, that if they confess the name of Jesus, they will be imprisoned and their children will be taken away and their children will be indoctrinated in the ungodliness of the state. This is what they were in Babylon. They felt the consequences of their sins. And God comes to them with a word of comfort. Behold your God. Behold him in all of his majesty. Maybe you little boys this week at the beach had a sand shovel and filled that bucket. God says he takes the whole weight of the earth in his hands and it's a little thing. God says that the seven oceans are in the palm of his hands. God said he spread out all the stars and calls them by name. It's when night comes, it's like he opens a curtain and there they are. But they've been there because God has made them. But then he says there's something more powerful than his glory, his sheer power. And what is more powerful even than that is that he is our shepherd. And he will keep us. That's God's word. And so, Trent, you answered the question with your wife, and we answered with you. Do you promise and intend to see this child brought up in the doctrines to the utmost of your power in this world? And we answered, yes. And we answered, yes, because we have a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs, helpless sheep, caring shepherd, and a glorious God. The text this morning describes the church of God as a flock of sheep. It describes parents and young adults as sheep. And it describes the children and infants as lambs. That's not a very impressive figure for the church, believers and their children on earth. Is not a very imposing figure. The world, as you are acquainted with Holy Scripture, is often described as a pack of lions, rending. David refers to those who are against him as a pack of jackals outside of his window, wolves seeking their blood. Children are described as little lambs, not just from a physical point of view, but spiritually. We're all described as those who are helpless, who are vulnerable, who cannot protect ourselves spiritually, who are in great need of help. And so the figure is not imposing, but the figure is intentional because the figure is very beautiful. God's intention is to exactly have us as a flock of sheep, exactly to have us in all of this weakness now, in order that his power and his love and his faithfulness in Christ might be shown to us. So we go all the way back to creation, where God made everything, boys and girls, he made everything, and even before sin, he made sheep. And he made sheep as sheep. He didn't make them with fangs, claws. He made them with sheep. And sheep are completely dependent. And they're dependent in three ways. Number one, they're defenseless. They're not created by God with anything to defend themselves. They don't have stingers. They don't have porcupines. They don't have teeth that is fangs. They do not have a smell like a deer. They don't have the eyesight of a turkey. They can't run very far. They don't have a shell of a turtle. They don't have the horns of a water buffalo for defense. All they can do is bleat and then run a little bit or waddle. And the lambs will just magnify everything that we just said. And so it is for us and for our children as we stand before sin and temptation in the world, in the ways of the world, as they're tempted to us and as we are by nature. We are as sheep. We are defenseless. You think you're different? You're not. We are as sheep and little lambs. We need a shepherd. The second thing about sheep is that they wander. They can't find their way back home. They are directionally challenged. They're made that way. They put their nose to the ground. They scent out grass and they just follow their nose and fill their bellies. And they have no sense of being able to get back. Just recently I read that there was a bear in the garbage cans in Traverse City. And the city caught the bear and tagged the bear and put a collar on the bear and brought him over 100, 150 miles away and dropped him off. And 3 weeks later, he was back in Traverse City. But sheep can't find their way home. They need a shepherd. Sheep will literally wander off cliffs and fall down to death. They will get on their backs and they can't get up without a shepherd. They are prone to wander. They are weak. So the hymn is, "Deer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Do you? "Look, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it to thy throne above. All we as sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. When we get into sin, we can't find our way back." We think, "Oh, no problem, Dad, no problem." When we give ourselves over and choose sin, we can't get back unless we have a shepherd. And finally, sheep are naive. They're foolish. They're clueless. They don't get it. They've been known to lick the hand of the man who has the butcher knife in his hand. They will follow the Judas goat to the slaughter. Isaiah 53 again, "As a lamb to the slaughter and as sheep before her shearers is dumb." All the signs are there of danger. Even a rabbit would have figured out this is not the place to be. But not sheep. Reminds us physically too of our little children. So we put these little plastic caps into the outlets because they will poke a toy in there. What do we put before the steps? We put a gate because they're prone to fall off those steps. And so are you and I. So is every child. So is every infant. We're clueless. We're foolish. The devil lays his plans right in front of us sometimes. We say, "What were you thinking?" We need a shepherd. Now I want to point out to you that although this is true of sheep in general, the Holy Spirit wants to highlight this because in the text, the members of the flock are exactly upon the dependent ones, the helpless ones. So to speak, the text emphasizes the needy among the helpless. They're all helpless, but there are certain who obviously are there are certain of that flock who obviously are showing that helplessness. Read the text. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and shall gently lead those that are with young. It speaks of those who are the needy among the helpless. The lambs, that's the little children. The lambs are especially helpless. At the point of birth, the shepherd has to be there to catch this little lamb, to make sure that it's cared for, to dry it off, if need be, to bring it home before his own fire, or to carry it in his bosom, that is, within his own cloak, to keep that little one warm. If he's not there, they won't survive entering this life. If you're not there, by God's grace, but if that child, that little infant in his first, second, third, fourth, fifth years, if you're not there spiritually, they'll be molded after sin. They need a shepherd. They need God's tender care from their very first day. There's nothing so needy as a lamb. There's nothing so needy as a little child. There's nothing so soft as wax that the imprint is put into them. God has entrusted them to your care as a parent, for you to take care of, you to teach, you to take their little hands already and fold them in prayer to their Heavenly Father. It's a great mystery, and I'm not talking about psychology. It's a great mystery because God made a sheep, and he made a little child, and therefore, in the first 3-4 years of life, the whole pattern of life has been set. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. And then it emphasizes those who care for them, they that are with young. Literally, that reads, they that give suck. So it's not referring to only pregnancy. And certainly that's a very tender moment. We focus on that because we see that everything, it's a marvel of God. It's all in God's hand in that womb. It's all God, what he will do. But then when they're born, and their mothers, and the care, and the needs that a young mother has, a nursing mother, the needs that she has, and how her life now has switched to one focus, that's that child. And all of this is the indication to us that our shepherd is focused especially on the needy among the helpless. We're all helpless, but he focuses on the needy of the flock. That's what we are referring to with that word special. Special needs. For people to refer to you as one who has special needs. That's really all of us. It is all of us. When you know yourself, you have some very special needs. I've come to see them, I trust, and you need a shepherd. But among the flock, there are those who are developmental, social, timid, less forceful, slow in development. But it is upon these especially that the shepherd places his care. This is how we must see ourselves. This is how we must see our children. We must see ourselves in our helplessness. That first. What God is really doing here is he's describing to the people of Judah what they are in the land of Judah already, but what they're going to see without mistake when they go into captivity for 70 years and they're driven from their land and they have nothing to say. Humanly speaking, they can't do, and sometimes we think, well, we can do something about this. They could do nothing. They were captives. They had no say over what was going to happen to their children and the influences that were going to come into their children. And so we confess this morning, our children are conceived with us and born in sin. And of ourselves, we are helpless. And there's all kinds of predators for our children. Predators. The devil and the world to take them out of the church of Jesus Christ. And this prophet says, now behold your God. He's a shepherd. And the point is, you understand this rightly, that he's our shepherd. Only when you first understand how helpless we are. And then the Word of God says, behold! And we were thinking in verse 9, behold! Behold God, verse 10, behold the Lord God will come. And as we read through the chapter, we thought, well, he's going to come as that mighty power that he has over the nations. And he's going to speak and he's going to blow them all away. And one day he will do that. But we don't get that part. The prophet doesn't speak that. He says, behold, your God will come as this caring shepherd. That's how he'll come. He'll come in the way that you need him. He will become the good shepherd of your soul. The Father will entrust your soul to him, and he will keep you. And this figure, I would like to point out two things quickly. This figure tells us two crucial truths that we could well elaborate upon, but let me just mention them. It brings to us, first of all, that lambs belong to the flock. Well, who would deny that? Children belong to the church. According to the covenant of God, let us not deny that. The question was asked, do you believe that although our children are conceived and born in sin, yet that they are sanctified in Christ and as members of his church ought to be baptized? Members of his church ought to be baptized. Children belong to the church, that is, the children of believers. Now, many deny this today and say, no, you need to grow up first and make confession of faith, and then after you've made your confession, you may be baptized. We wait until then. But that's not true. That's not biblical. When did a ram, or you, enter this flock? Well, he was born into it as a lamb. Now, we understand that not necessarily every child born to us this morning is a member of God's true church. We understand that the promise of God is according to his divine election. But we see in Scripture that that divine election, according to his mercy, runs in the generations of believers. And therefore, lambs belong to the flock of Jesus Christ. Little children are not too little to die. Little children born to us are not too little to come before the judgment of God, his throne in death. little children, even those who are miscarried from the womb, are not too little to belong to the covenant of God and to have a shepherd and to be redeemed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit in the womb. And the second thing is that the lambs know their shepherd. They're not only in the flock, but they know the shepherd. These little toddlers, not just adults, but children of the covenant, know their shepherd. The question was, do you believe that they are sanctified, set apart by Christ? The Heidelberg Catechism goes on to explain that the Holy Spirit, the author of faith, is given to them as well as to the adult. There's another danger. That danger is dead orthodoxy. That's the idea that because we believe in election, therefore we grow up in the church and we don't have a clue who Jesus Christ is. And we don't have anything similar to sorrow and repentance for our sins. That's not true. Parents, God, through the means of your instruction, and also under the word of God, we bring them to the flock to hear the word. And we provide Christian schools and catechism through these things from early childhood. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying them to give them to know conversion, repentance, sorrow for sin, a desire to be holy and to please God. Lambs know their shepherd. They know them as a lamb knows him. He's my shepherd. He takes care of me. It's going to be okay, Dad and Mom. Jesus is our shepherd. Has not their little faith spoken to you? They know their shepherd. They walk as a sheep. And then God says, now take a good look at this shepherd. He's all sufficient. Four words: feed, gather, carry, and gently lead. Refers to the whole work of a shepherd. He's totally sufficient as a shepherd. Able to bring us to pasture, able to tend the wounds, able to watch over, able to keep them all together. Jesus said, all that thou hast given to me, including these lambs, the old ones, sometimes the ornery ones, the wayward ones, all that thou hast given to me, I have kept. And I have not lost one, and he will not lose one. He shall carry, he shall gather them, we read. That's especially beautiful when you think of a child in the covenant. He shall gather them. How does he gather them? He gathers them, he said, by his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Our children come to hear the voice of God through you as a parent. They come to hear the voice of God through the preaching of the gospel. In the Christian community, they come to hear who? A tradition? No, they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gathers them with his own word. Children, do you hear him? In the church, do you hear Christ in your heart, that you belong to him, that you love him, that he's with you, that he'll take care? Do you know that in your heart, that he forgave your sins? My sheep hear my voice. And he carries them, and he leads them. He's committed to them. But then he's not only all-sufficient, but again, the emphasis is here on the tender care that this shepherd gives to us and to our children. And if I may just mention this a moment, how blessed we were as a congregation this past week with the pre-synodical sermon by Reverend Vinovlope on the mercy, everlasting mercy of God. And then our brother Josiah Tan's sermon from Psalm 89 before the Synod about, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever, with my mouth will I make known his faithfulness. How we were blessed with hearing the words of God's mercy. And the point is in the text that God shows the tenderness, the warmth, and the mercy of his covenant, especially as he loves children and as he loves young people. So that you as a young person in your time of desperate need, of depression, of weariness, you have a shepherd. You have a shepherd. The Lord God in Jesus Christ, you go to him. He will help you. We have a shepherd not only for our little ones, but we have our shepherd for those special needs members and for us who are faint-hearted and we who are quiet and we who know that weakness which makes us feel so unworthy. We have a shepherd. All the security that the heart of God can give. All the security that the heart of God can give is given through our good shepherd. Do you hear that? He shall carry them in his bosom. As close as he can get. When Jesus Christ is your Savior by God's precious grace and you belong to him, you are as close as you can get to the heart of God. And then that care, all sufficient and tender, is parental. Let's mention that also for a moment. He shall gently lead those who give suck. It's referring to parents. Parents, we need a shepherd. And if we ever wondered about if we needed a shepherd, when you get a child, you become pretty convinced quickly that you need a shepherd. We can leave the impression very often as parents that we have it all together. We want to leave that impression. We've got it all together. But the reality is that we don't have it all together. We sin. And now our sin begins to affect our children. And we begin to respond to our children in sinful ways. We get irritated with them. We get angry with them. And sometimes Sunday morning is not that peaceful moment before church, the ride to church, the breakfast table, the bathroom. There's nothing but fighting and teasing. And sometimes we blow up. And sometimes our meal tables can be a disaster. We need a merciful shepherd. The great danger of a parent is to think that you don't need one, that you're the parent. We need a shepherd. Now, all of this is intended to teach us, this verse is intended to teach us, as I've said a number of times, the glory of God. If you were to look for the glory of God to be shown, his mighty power, where would you look? And the chapter has us look in many places where that glory is to be seen. The nations are like a drop hanging off a bucket. That's all they mean to God. God will accomplish his own purpose in this wicked world. His kingdom rules forever. The call of the gospel is believe in Christ. Repent of your sins. For God is God forever and ever. But back to my question. Where would you look for the glory of God? God says, my glory is seen in a tender shepherd, in giving this shepherd to care for you and to care for your children. Who are we? What have we deserved? Did we earn any of this? Did he pick us out of the line as being exceptional? We are nothing but foolish sinners. God has done this for the glory of his name. God will show his glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. In that cross, he has given to us and our children what we need: righteousness and forgiveness. In that cross, he has promised to give us the Holy Spirit to conform us after his will. God's glory is seen in his tender shepherd, to whom two times the prophet asked us the question from God: to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? To whom? To what will you compare God and say, well, that's something close to him? There's nothing except this: a shepherd. God is incomparable. You can't compare him in his mercy and in his grace. Nothing can be compared to the glory of this: the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's nothing so glorious, so good as that. And that's our confidence in this world with our children, in our shepherd who will carry the lambs in his bosom, also in this present wicked world. Amen. Father in heaven, we have stammered over the beauty of thy covenant promises. O Lord, add by the Holy Spirit all that should have been said, and take away what was said amiss, and sanctify this word in our hearts, that we may live holy, completely, with all of our being, in gratitude and service to thee, our God, for such rich, everlasting promises. And comfort us as parents, and comfort those young people appointed to death, and comfort each one of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Jesus' name, amen.